the powerful ones of T-Man will be amazed for the reason that men are cut off from Esau's mountain by a slaughter. And that was Obadiah chapter 1, verse 9 of the version of Yours Truly from 2003. And that's our daily scripture from the book of Obadiah for today, little children. Returning to the article, The Ark of Urartu, the Orient Express now, part 2. We are in chapter 11, Kunlun Mountains. Kunlun Mountains is a mountain range midway between Shinar and China, basically, on the road between Shinar and China. And we see prior to this, at the end of chapter 10, there was presented in this article, The Ark of Urartu, this photo. It looks like a photo, doesn't it? It's not a photo. It's quite a beautiful painting. It's a lithograph, right? I think that might be what you call an etching, actually. But you see this enlarged here. And by the way, you know, we looked up an article, a research paper, right? Yesterday. It was called The Effect of Erythritol and Xylitol on Streptococcus pyogenes Causing Peritonsillar Abscesses. In other words, strep throat. And you see in the illustration, I didn't get it displayed fully, unfortunately. We couldn't see this inhibited or not inhibited. In other words, to successfully inhibit the bacteria or bacterium, it's not a virus. I made a mistake yesterday on one occasion. It doesn't matter if it's a virus or a bacterium in the case of vitamin C. In this case, it is, though, xylitol that we're talking about, not vitamin C, and we're talking about a bacterium called Streptococcus pyogenes, or S. pyogenes on the left column there, on the left vertical axis. But it shows the successful inhibition for xylitol with a 10% solution was over 95%. Better than erythritol. And xylitol has many things in which it's better than erythritol, although not everything, but certainly it's better at this, at suppressing strep throat. And I made another error yesterday when I said that a 25% solution was 1 tablespoon and 1/3 of xylitol in 2 tablespoons of water. That's much more than 25%. That would work, but 25% solution is 2 teaspoons in 2 tablespoons of, is that even correct? Wait a minute. Well, let's take 4 tablespoons, right? It's 4 tablespoons of water, which is, no, 2 tablespoons is 30. That's right, it's 2 tablespoons. 2 tablespoons is 15 milliliters times 2. 15 milliliters being a tablespoon. So 2 times 15 is 30. 30 milliliters is the same as 30 grams as far as water goes. So 30 grams of water, we want 1/4 of that, or 25%. That's 7.5 grams of xylitol. But xylitol has a density of 1.5. So divide 7.5 grams by 1.5, because you don't need as much volume-wise to get the same mass, because it's 1.5 times as dense as water. So divide by 1.5, you get 5. Wait a minute. Yeah, 5. Yeah, that's right. So that's 1 teaspoon. 5 milliliters is a teaspoon, 3 teaspoons in a tablespoon. This is all accurate to some degree. I'm not even sure if it's entirely accurate, but it's very close enough. So, but it's different from what I said yesterday. So 1 teaspoon per 2 tablespoons is 25%. But if you want to make a quarter cup, that's 4 tablespoons, which is 60 milliliters. That's actually only a quarter of an American cup, actually. A Canadian cup is much bigger than an American cup, which is hard to believe, all these differences. But it's 280-something milliliters for a Canadian cup and 237 milliliters for an American cup. So there's a difference in the cup size for the standard volume measurement, right? Well, anyway, we're talking about an American cup, I believe. So we're talking about 60 milliliters for 4 tablespoons. 4 tablespoons in a quarter of a cup for an American cup. That works out, or at least it's close, right? So, so that's 4 tablespoons and 2 teaspoons is what we're talking about. 1 teaspoon and 2 tablespoons, or 2 teaspoons of xylitol and a quarter cup of water. That is what 25% solution of xylitol would be. It doesn't taste very strong, so if you want to go stronger than that, by all means, you could use what I used yesterday, or what I said yesterday, which is a tablespoon or so, or maybe even a little more for 2 tablespoons of water. That's a very, very, that's a pretty well 100% solution of xylitol in water, but you can go more than 100%. You can go 170% almost by weight of xylitol in water, and it will still dissolve. It's a very soluble substance. But the point is, don't drink it, because you'll overdose. And the overdose is not going to hurt you, but you don't want to overdose because it'll cause perhaps massive diarrhea or something like that. So you don't want that, probably. So just gargle with it and spit it out. And it makes an excellent, and just, you know, rinse your mouth and gargle and then spit it back into the toilet or whatever. Not back into the toilet, spit it into the toilet. And so that's it. This is our lithograph of the Kunlun Mountains. It's the chain of the Kunlun, the Kunlun. The chain of the Kunlun, maybe it's even pronounced Kunlun, I don't know. The chain of the Kunlun from Sumgal in Turkestan. The latitude is 36 degrees 8 minutes. And the east longitude, it's east 78 degrees 5 minutes. The altitude is 13,215 English feet. It's just a stunning image of these mountains. And several groups of small groups of humans with animals, pack animals like horses, and or I think they're horses, and an encampment there. So it looks like somebody preparing food, perhaps, there in the encampment, and they have the mountains in the distance, the Kunlun mountain range. It's just a brilliant, beautiful, beautiful snow-peaked, snow-capped mountains in the distance, the Kunlun mountain chain. The chapter is called Kunlun Mountains, and here's another illustration from the book from 1871 by Robert Shaw called Visits to High Tartary, and the drawing was by Major Strutt from a sketch by R.B. Shaw, and this is a peak, it's called, in the Kunlun Range. A white peak seen between two earth-colored slopes. And also you see in the illustration, what is that if not a mountain goat? Kunlun, not to begin reading, which is 2 characters in Chinese, Kunlun. Pronunciation's not shown as far as the pitch or the intonation or the, you know, how to pronounce it. In this particular case, I didn't enter that information. Kunlun, in the heart of China, is a west-east mountain chain. The legendary Jade Palace Genie. The Jade Palace, the infamous, legendary Jade Palace. Samarkand lies situated proximate to the Kunlun Mountains. Samarkand is the town we mentioned at the beginning of an earlier chapter. Tervalori is 3,200 kilometers, 2,000 miles. You multiply by 0.62 to convert from kilometers to miles. Tervalori is 3,200 kilometers distant as the crow flies from the Kunlun Mountains, and Samarkand, 1,000 kilometers or 600 miles. Obviously, Samarkand is much closer, but still a fair distance. You could call it proximate. It is remarkable that in Persia, where the word Kai connotes giant, and there's the Persian word for Kai, it's a, what we would say in English is a squiggly line, and compare the word giant with the name Kainan or Kainam. Isn't it a similar name, giant and Kainan and Kainam? I mean, what else is similar in the English language to the word giant? You know, if not, I mean, it seems like that's a very, very good suggestion as to the derivation of the word giant. And it means also great. The city of Persepolis in Persia has a long history of astronomy, claiming to be from 3,000 years before Jesus. 1, 2, and 3 are the references. I think that Mr. George Smith, in his book, The Patriarchal Age, possibly quotes from this book or article by Mr. Jean-Sylvain Bailey. But I've got the book here, so let's take a look at it. Shall we? Mr. Bailey, on page 424 of his article, Bailey's Letters, which is in the British Critic publication, everything conspires to lead us to the ancient astronomy that is lost, and above all, the endeavors made by the Chinese for its recovery. They are persuaded that their first emperors, Fo He, Huang Ti, we know that Huang Ti is the same as Huang Di, and Yao, we have to look to see who that Yao is, were perfectly acquainted with this science, that is astronomy, and its principles are concealed in certain monuments, and particularly in Lai King. There's a lot of research that we need to do to understand all of this. During all my research, I didn't have time to read these publications. I just found things using some kind of global search. But Fo He, according to them, was the father of this astronomy. And it is for this reason they search for the true astronomical principles in those mysterious lines named Kuwa, which are the production of that emperor. They also seek them in the tubes of bamboo, which furnished the music of Huang Ti, who is Huang Di, we know the Yellow Emperor, or Heber, as we call him, from the Bible. The numbers of heaven and of earth, combined by Confucius and so many others, are likewise of the same time. So that would be the time, the days of this emperor, Huang Ti, or Huang Di. It is not more ridiculous to search for astronomy in an instrument of music than for the secret of the philosopher's stone in the verses of Homer. Beautiful text, isn't it? But I mean, when you look to what he says about the science of how old this science of astronomy is, he says 3,209 years before Christ on page 425 here. Mr. Bailey writes, he says, I think I have demonstrated that the Persian Empire and the foundation of Persepolis ascend to 3,209 years before Jesus Christ. I mean, we could just spend months reading this stuff and seeing where it leads in terms of what other sources we could find. I'm not sure there are many. There aren't many sources. I'm making a mistake here. Hang on a second. We need to resize to get this. I need to do that. I need to open up the document that I use to resize with. Basically, it's just the app I use, which gives me my alignment. I can do it some other way. I don't need that to do the alignment, but I can just do it by eyeballing the camera. But here it is. I can eyeball my camera. I couldn't get my camera to appear on the same screen as the browser, but anyway. I've got it aligned now. And so I just need to scroll down to where we are. There we are. So he says the word Kai connotes giant, right, in Persia. And in the city, Persepolis in Persia, there's a long history of astronomy. And we just read that it was more than 3,000 years before Jesus. All claims of antiquity are welcomed with a grain of salt. And it is important to preserve them for all of posterity. The other purpose of salt, of course, was to preserve things. It was used to preserve meats. So the idea of accepting something with a grain of salt was it meant to preserve what we already believed at the same time as accepting with the grain of salt this new teaching. But it is important to preserve these claims of antiquity, I wrote, for all of posterity. This evidence supports the move of Kainan from Shinar into China, his mother being given as Rasoija, the daughter of Susan, the daughter of Elam, according to chapter 8 of the Book of Jubilees. 8 verses 1 and 2, Book of Jubilees. Kainan found writing on a rock while searching for a city. Kainan we associate above with astronomy. So when we talk about the Book of Jubilees saying that Kainan found writing on a rock, that could just be, oh, he found writing on a rock. It could just be anybody finding writing on a rock, just found writing on a rock. But what it really appears to be saying is that Kainan was this person, as we correlate all the facts, called Fohi. He was the person called Fohi or Fushi, the same name being rendered differently at times. And he invented astronomy because he saw these signs written on a rock. In other words, it's more than just seeing the signs written on a rock. And we associate Kainan with the watchers, whose writing he found, and with writing his own Kangji, Shila, as well as Eber, with Shinar. So we associate Kainan with astronomy or the watchers, and with writing his own Kangji. See, the writing is a word is talking about writing in general, but his own Kangji, which was a writing system, we associate him with all those things so far, with Shila also. Or sorry. No, we don't. Well, of course, we associate him with Shelah, but he was the father of Shelah, right? And Shelah was the father of Eber. But we associate Shelah and Eber with Shinar. That's what it's saying, or China. And Eber we associate with Huang Di, the Yellow Emperor, the legendary chariot inventor. Whatever astronomy survived the deluge, we reconcile to its use before 2774 BCE at the eclipse of Nimrod on the site of Noah's Ark, the Misha of Genesis 10:30, chapter 10, verse 30, where it was said that, well, let's read it, I guess, Genesis 10:30. So Kainan we associate with, of course, Shelah, also being his son, and Eber, his grandson. We associate them all together, but Shelah and Eber went to China is the difference here. Maybe stayed in Persia. That's fascinating. But I just haven't had time to reflect on these things much. And their place of dwelling, I reflect on different things every day, I guess, because of all the different research, but there's no time to do all the reflections. So we need to be faithful to the work that's been done. That's what was said there by Mr. Bailey, right? And their place of dwelling, it says in Genesis 10:30, came to extend from Mesha as far as Sephar, the mountainous region of the east. Their place of dwelling. See, they traveled from Mesha as far as Sephar, the mountainous region of the east. And Sephar, the mountainous region of the east, could be the Kunlun Mountains. It could be more likely China, which is what we suggested before. At that time, whatever astronomy survived the deluge, we reconcile to its use before 2774 BCE at the eclipse of Nimrod on the site of Noah's Ark, the Mesha of Genesis 10:30. That's the site of Noah's Ark, Mesha. And at that time, by the most vivid imaginings, I didn't say that the first time, to its arrival on the mountains of the east, or Sephar, carried by Cainan. Oh, wait a minute. Okay. So here we're saying Cainan went all the way. Yes, he must have gone all the way. We don't know that, but we know he was the one who helped the Yellow Emperor by writing this. He was called Kangji, right? Or Fuxi. And he wrote the language called the Kangji. So Cainan, being that same person, he evidently stayed with the Yellow Emperor, and they traveled all the way to China together. That's what that says. But we don't know that for sure. Perhaps he could have developed the language for the Yellow Emperor, and then the Yellow Emperor could have gone to China on his own. Doesn't seem as likely, perhaps, or as... It's very, very... ancient. Very ancient, and very lost sort of story, right? Both the ancient astronomy of Samarkand, the town to which we refer at the start of chapter 10, it was chapter 10 that we mentioned Samarkand, and that of Tervalori or Teruvarur. Isn't that a beautiful word, Teruvarur? Sounds like an Irish word or something, but it's Indian, I understand. Whose ancient astronomy, that is that of Tervalori, gave an extrapolation of its origin back to the time of Adam. See figure 1 above. Yeah, we determined that the time of Adam fit quite well, using modern equations to calculate the same values that were given in the tables of Tervalori. But arrive, both the ancient astronomy of Samarkand and that of Tervalori arrive at sun and moon longitudes for 3102 BCE. That was the time given for the tables of Tervalori. They arrive at sun and moon longitudes for 3102 BCE, better than Ptolemy's by up to 10 degrees. India's being the best, as is shown by an extrapolation that gave agreement to less than 5 minutes, or 0.0833 degrees, in three independent criteria, or a 1 second, or 0.003 degree accuracy for both Jupiter and Saturn. That's from Mr. Playfair's book, reference 6 here, the works of John Playfair. There it is there. Let's see. This is the reference for it. Not sure if this is the correct reference. What page did we mention? Oh, it's many pages. 122, 23, 140, 142, and 134. We won't have time today to look at all that, but apparently the reference works. The link works. I mean, I've got the book already downloaded as well for my own use. So we'll just leave that for now and carry on. But isn't that astounding? That's quite accurate for these, like, degrees, minutes, and seconds. We're talking about 1 second accuracy for Jupiter and Saturn, which is remarkably hard. It's just, it's barely fathomable how accurate that is. And that's how accurate the tables of Tervalori was, or were. And also the ancient astronomy of Samarkand is mentioned along with the tables of Tervalori, because they apparently were also, that astronomy was apparently also very accurate. There's just not enough time to even do the research, let alone, I mean, you know, at the expense of something else, but I mean, to even do the research, there's not time, let alone to present the information. You know, there's, everything takes so much time. Teruvarur is a place, like, it's the same name as Tervalori. And at that place, they hold a yearly chariot festival, March to April. That's a coincidence, a chariot festival, when the Yellow Emperor was the inventor of the south-pointing chariot. And they hold a yearly chariot festival. We may yet learn much from antiquity, for men living after the deluge were bigger and lived longer than we do. No doubt is the word of God alive and also working. Quoting, that is, from Hebrews 4 and 12 in footnote 11. The length of life takes the leading place among inquiries about events following birth. Tetrabiblos by Ptolemy. Now, the thing is, that's quite a statement. I was reading the first part of Tetrabiblos by Ptolemy, and you see in that book by Ptolemy a discussion of the length of his life and things like that. But the other thing that was the more significant point, I think, here is what's said about, this is remarkable here, the men being bigger. These references given 8, 9, and 10, it shows from Second Chronicles, for example, that the cubit was, it was mentioned as being the cubit of the old standard. You see that? It was a different size because men were different size at one earlier time. So look at this. Then you look at the other references, reference 9, Ezekiel 40 and 5. The other one was Second Chronicles 3 and 3, I believe, was it? Yeah, Ezekiel 40 and 5 and 43 and 13 is the other reference. Is it here? Where is it? Let's just click on it again. Okay, there it was. Ezekiel 40 and 5 and 43 and 13. It said here, a cubit and a hand breadth. A cubit and a hand breadth. 6 cubits of a cubit and a hand breadth. So the cubit was longer than what a cubit is the length from the tip of your fingers to your elbow. But if obviously men were a different size earlier because they were using the old cubit, then they were saying, well, it's got to be the measure of a person's arm today plus a hand breadth added onto it. So that's what showed. And that, then in verse 13, the cubit is a cubit and a hand breadth, it says. The bottom shall be a cubit and the breadth a cubit. But it was talking about the measurements of the temple in Ezekiel there, but giving it as a cubit and a hand breadth to show that people were bigger in the past, apparently, is what that's saying, right? That's a very substantial piece of evidence there. Genesis 6 and 3. And the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with humans forever. New International Version. For they are mortal. Their days will be 120 years. So that referred to the fact that people used to live longer, right? They were older, they were bigger, and they lived longer. That was what we just mentioned in the article. And that's the end of our study for today. Well, look at this illustration. Heavenly Grandfather, the Jade Emperor. Who was the Jade Emperor? I think we're going to learn all about that, right? Yeah, I think he was the Yellow Emperor. He was the Yellow Emperor, the Jade Emperor. This is going to be a phenomenal cultural adventure when we read what's coming up here. It was an adventure for me to write it, I know that. So we'll see what happens in the coming days with regard to this. And I think we've had some history made in the chess world today, because Magnus Carlsen and Jan Nepomniachtchi have decided to share the World Blitz title. Nepomniachtchi, something like that. I think that's his name. Close to that. Let's find out how to spell his name, maybe. Let's see. See if we find it. Well, this is under searching books. No, all. Okay, chess. Let's look up chess. Nepomniachtchi. How do you pronounce it? Nepomniachtchi. There's no Nepomniachtchi. That's it. Jan Nepomniachtchi and Magnus Carlsen. They decided to share the World Blitz Championship. That was the championship conducted by FIDE in New York this year. And that's never happened before. They've never been able to agree that they should share the title, because they couldn't decide the match within three extra games. Anyway, that's it for today's study. It's December 31st. The year is 2024 of the Common Era, and the time is 20:43 hours Canadian Eastern Time. I'm Ward Green, and I love you very much. In my behalf, this is Sissy, and this is Star saying bye for now. Today we began Chapter 11. Of the article, The Ark of Urartu, The Orient Express, Part 2, Chapter 11. Today, paragraph 1, and it's a chapter called Kunlun Mountains. Kunlun Mountains being a mountain range. And that's all we have to cover today. I think it's fantastic what we learned about xylitol also yesterday. But that's all for today.